I've been reading from my Bible that I thought had every book contained in it. But I went out and bought two new Bibles, looking for Hezekiah. I bought an NIV parallel with the NIV and the Message in it. And I looked all through it. I couldn't find Hezekiah. And so I also bought myself a new King James Version, New Life Application Study Bible, looking for Hezekiah, and I couldn't find it. And so I was frustrated, so I went up to the storekeeper and said, I want the Bible that has Hezekiah. And said, oh, you've been talking to Pastor Colin. Hezekiah, I love it. Hezekiah. I've used that two times, by the way. But we will not be turning to Hezekiah today. Thank you, Pastor Colin, for that message last week. I listened to it right on. Thank you, Pastor Colin. Pastor Colin, you're right. God does give us more than we can bear, doesn't he? We've been talking about relationships. That's what we've been talking about. And we kind of come to a culmination today of relationships. We've been talking about the relationships between husbands and wives. We've been talking about the duties of parents. We've been talking about the duties of a father and a mother. And children, we can sum up really simply: obey. That's pretty summation of kids. What should kids do? Obey. It's like the one child went to his mother and said, you know, you need to buy me a new bike and you can't beat me anymore. And the mother said, what are you talking about? I said, well, yeah, my Sunday school teacher told me that. Your Sunday school teacher told you? Well, not in so many words, but that's what she meant. She meant that I'm to buy you a bike and I can't beat you? Well, yes, because she wrote right from the scripture, you have to spare the rod and spoil the child. So you need to buy me a new bike. Well, that's not necessarily so. My mother, by the way, all says hi, and she had a black belt and wooden spoon. My mother had a black belt. How many had a mother like that? Mark? Yeah, Mark's both hands. I can see the scars all over your boy. I can just... Black belt and curtain rod, man. Black belt and curtain rod. But today we're going to talk about, okay, we kind of clearly define what our roles and jobs are, and maybe some of you embrace them over the time I've been teaching you, and maybe some have not. Maybe some have agreed with all of them. Maybe some have agreed with some of them. Maybe some have agreed with none of them, but that doesn't make them not roles. There are roles. And roles need to be obeyed, or there are consequences of the roles. And so today I want to talk about the consequences of breaking the roles. I want to talk about conflict. How many know there is conflict in families? Because there are. And I'm going to talk to you today about conflict. And I want to tell you today what causes conflict in families. We'll talk about that today. And I have a list for you of what the 10 reasons, the 10 biggest reasons for conflict in the home today are, based upon the Family Christian Counselors Association, that which they hear most often when there is conflict. What do you think the first one on the list is? Money. The first one on the list that causes conflict within relationships is money. Most couples argue over bills, argue over debt, argue over spending and other financial issues. And between parents and children, argue over allowances or the lack thereof. That's number one. Number one reason conflict in the Christian family today. What do you think number two is? Children. Discipline, diet, and other parenting issues can be sources of disagreement within the Christian home. They can't agree upon discipline. They can't agree upon what the kids should be eating. Having children can accentuate the differences in beliefs on issues like how to discipline, who's responsible for most of the child care, and what educational options do we have. That's the second biggest cause for conflict in a Christian home. The third one, sex. Yes. Frequency, quality, infidelity are all common sources of disharmony in the Christian home. Parents struggle in guiding children through landmines in the sex-crazed culture. Fourth reason why there's conflict in the Christian home, chores. Couples disagree and argue over the inequitable distribution of household work, how to do it, and who's to do it. Instead of dividing household chores fairly and equitable, they quibble over who did or didn't do what. Big concern, conflict in a Christian home. The fifth one, friends. What friends will be considered acceptable for spouses? What friends will be considered acceptable for children? And not all friends are helpful in relationships. Some of them are toxic to your family relationships. Sixth reason, conflict in a Christian home, entertainment. What shall we do in our spare time? Where should we go? How much do we spend? Different interests of what we can do with our free time threatens family relationships. Number seven, religion. What shall we believe? How should we raise our kids? What holidays do we observe and how do we observe them? Religious differences can create much conflict in the family. Number eight, relatives. Yeah, they're chuckling here, huh? How many's got relatives? How many couldn't pick them? You know, in some other church, they're thinking about you too. Oh, there's another pastor in another church talking to your relatives, saying, relatives go, oh, yeah, I know who you're talking about. It's true. What? It's true. Relatives. In-laws, grandparents, siblings, stepchildren can create stress in a family. To what degree do we allow them to impact the nuclear family? Nine, expectations. We all go into marriage and family with certain expectations. We expect spouses to be as mature as our parents are. We expect our way of life to be equivalent to how we were raised. And unmet expectations are a major source of conflict in marriages. And the final one of the big 10, personality differences. There are personality traits and personal habits that can come down on marriages and families. And even adults suffer from childhood arrest called acting like a child. That's the 10 things that cause most conflict in a Christian home. 10 of them. How many of you recognize at least one of the 10? At least one of the 10. How many recognize more than one? How many recognize pretty much all 10 of them? And those who didn't raise your hand didn't raise kids. And I want you to know that I have them for you. I printed them for you. So what do we do? So what do we do with these issues? They confront everybody. These issues that are of top 10, based upon family Christian counselors, what they hear the most, that's the top 10. And you know why they're the top 10? Because they happen all the time. And the interesting thing about the top 10 reasons for family conflicts in the Christian home, the reason why they're there is because they're there. This isn't the 10 reasons in the atheist's home, or the non-believer's home, or the agnostic's home. This is the 10 big reasons in the what? The Christian home. The Christian home. And I'm sure they go across the broad spectrum of all beliefs. But the sad part is they are the top 10 where? Christian. In our homes. The top 10 in our homes. How many would at least agree that you have had a conflict in your own home based upon at least a couple of those? It's just true. So what do we do with that? What do we do with that? You know, it's absolutely proven, for sure, that many of us will purchase these home protection devices. And you see them all over the place, right? ADT, they're in somebody's yard. Everybody know what I'm talking about? Maybe some of you have those. Your ADT thing, you spend so much money per month to have this thing, to protect your family from all of the outside threats that could be happening to your family while you're sleeping. Does anybody know what they cost a month? Who knows per month what that costs? How much? You have one, Whitey, huh? 35, okay, per month. And you buy these things, and it's probably a good thing that you have them. You know, you probably, your windows and your doors are pretty secure. If anybody opens a window or the door, you know, the thing goes off and calls the police. And, you know, you buy these services, and they come, they wire your windows and your doors up, and then some folks get like a little privacy fence, you know, around the perimeter of your house, and then maybe you get a dog or two, like a Rottweiler or a pit bull, who's friends with the German Shepherd that you have. And you decide, you know, you want to make sure your family's really, really safe, and so, you know, you don't feed those dogs for about a month and put them out in the yard. And then you go inside the house, right? You come home, you flip that switch on, and the alarm system's armed, and the dogs are out in the yard yapping, and you have lights, motion lights, detectors. Somebody goes to the yard, all the lights come on, looks like a runway, and all that kind of stuff. Right? So the question that has to be asked is, you have all of that stuff, is your family safe? You know, they're safe. Nobody can get in, but are they safe from you? That they can't get out. Isn't that a fair question? See, they're safe from the outside world. They're safe that nobody's going to come in and grab them. But are they safe from you? Did you know that more harm is caused from the inside of the house than ever from the outside? Pastor Ed, who's former Officer Ed Rogers, is that a true statement? More damage is done on the inside than on the outside. How many agree with that? The reality of it is, on any one given day, husbands and wives, both alike, should call home and say, "Put the dogs out, I'm coming home. And I'm in a rare mood tonight." How many understand what I'm saying? Turn on the system. Don't let me in. Because some damage is going to be happening there tonight. It's true. So many of us have caused more damage to those we say we love than any stranger ever has done. Is that true? Many wives would smack another woman silly for saying the same thing she said to her own husband. Is that fair? Many husbands will knock somebody out for saying the same thing you said to the woman you say you love. Ain't that sad? Many mothers and fathers would call CYF on somebody else for saying the same thing you just said to your own child. Now, you know what makes that such a horrible thought? It's just true. Is it true? Most of us treat somebody else's spouse with more respect than we treat our own. Unfortunately, that's true. Many of us Christians treat somebody else's kids more conservatively, more passionate, with more patience than we treat our very own. Isn't that something? And it's true. And so what do we do? What do we do with that? How are we able to get around that? Would anybody in this room tell me that's a true statement so far, that what I'm saying is true? Besides me, it is true. It's true. You know, when people call me on the phone and want me to counsel them, and they're not atheists, they're not agnostics, they're not Muslims, they're not Hindus, they're not people who practice Confucianism, they're not Satanists. Guess who are calling me on the phone because they're fighting all the time? Guess who they are? Christians. Christians. It's just not atheists are calling me. Who do you think it is, Robin? Christians. Christians. So what do we do? So how do we handle this conflict? How do we handle it? We're going to turn in our Bibles is how we're going to handle it. We're going to turn in our Bible. We're going to learn how do we handle this kind of conflict that goes inside of every single family. How can we resolve it? I need you to turn into your scriptures, please. Not Hezekiah. Well, we won't be reading Hezekiah today. We will be reading 3 Peter. Third Peter. Please turn to Third Peter. Oh, they're wise to me. Let's try Second Peter then, huh? You can't find Third Peter, Pastor Colin? Second Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 8.
But also for this very reason, given all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Let me help you. That means become Christ-like. Not more you-like. See, it's been way too long too much of you. And we need to get a lot less of you and a lot more of who? Jesus. See, in our relationships with our families, if it was a lot less of us and a lot more of him, maybe there'd be a lot less arguments going on in the Christian home. You see, when I counsel folks, it's always about what he or she did. It's never about what I did. It's like a dump session on everybody else but you. And what we need to understand is that in order for us to resolve family conflicts, we need to resolve them before there are what? Conflicts. Christ-likeness. Christ-likeness in you. In you. Turn to your Bibles, please, and go to Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 to 23.
But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law.
Those are the qualities that every husband, every wife, every mother, every father, every child, everyone in a relationship needs to be able to acquire those things. Those things. And I'll let you know now, the most loudest is not the most rightest. Sometimes the most loudest appears to be the most stupidest. See, the one that can throw the furthest doesn't mean he's the most right. The one who has self-control, the one that has the most patience, the one that can show humility, the one that is more long-suffering, the one that learned a lot less of me and a lot more of him, they're the ones that kind of grasp a hold of this. Chances are pretty good, and I see it all the time. I am personal witness of it. On a weekly basis and sometimes daily, there are people who will treat me better than they will treat their own spouse. I see it daily. There will be people that will treat me with more respect than they'll treat their own husbands. There will be people that will treat me with more kindness than they'll treat their own child. Why is that? Why is that? Because they're treating me as a brother. Well, maybe then our husbands are our brothers. Maybe our wives are our sisters. Could that not be true, Whitey? Maybe those we love are not only our brothers and sisters biologically, but maybe they're our brothers and sisters spiritually. Maybe our husbands and wives should be treated more as a brother and a sister in Christ first, before they are treated as a husband or a wife. Turn into your Bibles, please. And let's go to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. And I really want you to get it. It's Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2.
Therefore, the prisoner of the Lord beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love.
To who does that apply? Everybody. Everybody. Here, right in front of me, right here. Here, right, these three guys, right here. I grew up with them. This guy here, I went to high school with. Son went to high school with. Judy went to a different high school. We still liked her anyhow. But I knew her since I've been a kid. Butch I've known for 40 years. You would think I would treat these three with kindness. True? Patience. True? I surely would treat these three, has been impacting my life since a long time, with love and understanding. I'd teach them for as long as I could, and I would never grow impatient with them. Ever. Come here, Sean. Ever. Now, why would I not treat my daughter better than I treat them? Better than I treat them. This is my daughter. Why would I have less patience with her than I have with them? It's ridiculous, isn't it? I should have more patience with my kid than I have with my friends. She's my daughter, but she's also what? My sister. She's my sister in the Lord. Thank you, Shauna. That's my sister in the Lord. Yoshiko is one of my bestest friends. I love Yoshiko. She's my friend. I have patience with her. God knows I have to. She's my sister. We have conversations almost daily. I love Yoshiko. I should love my wife more. As much patience as I show towards my friend, I should show towards my wife. Would that not make sense? How can I treat my friend with respect, but I can't treat my wife with more? It makes no sense. It makes no sense, does it? And so we are to treat our family members as brothers and sisters in Christ. We need to treat them the same as we would treat any other brother and sister in Christ. Certainly not less. Should we? Certainly not less. Turn into your Bibles, please. Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4.
Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others.
Timmy. Come here, Timmy. Everybody say hi to my friend Timmy.
Hi, Timmy.
Hi, Timmy. You still work at McDonald's?
Yeah.
All right. What's the number one?
Big Mac.
All right, Big Mac. This is my friend Timmy. I've known Timmy since he's not been this tall. I've known Timmy when he looked up to me. But certainly you would think I should treat Timmy better than myself. True? I certainly should be willing to serve my brother. True? You would certainly hold me accountable if I didn't treat him with respect. This is my brother Timmy. Certainly you would hold me accountable. Certainly you would. If I did not serve my brother, would that be true? Why would my son be less? Why should my son be less? Is that true? If anything, my son should be what? More. Thanks, Timmy. So if I would treat somebody in this church as better than myself, which is right and proper that I do. True? Why? Why would I not treat my family as better than myself? Why should it be different? Right, Glenn? It shouldn't be different. It should not be different. I should treat everyone as higher than myself. Is that not true? I should do nothing. Come here, Sue. Please. Sue is another one of my very good friends, right? It's not good to have a friend as a physical therapist when you're not behaving, though. It's not a good thing, is it? Now, here's my friend Sue. Now, certainly I should do nothing out of selfish ambition against Sue. Is that correct?
Yes.
I shouldn't make decisions that favors me and not favors my friend. That's ridiculous, isn't it? You would all hold me accountable if I made decisions insisting that I be held higher than she be held. Would you not hold me accountable for that?
Yes,
but why shouldn't my wife be less than her? Why is that? That makes no sense, does it? Makes no sense. If I see to it that my friend, and she's one of my dearest buddies, if I go out of my way to serve her, should I do less for my wife?
No.
No, thank you, Sue. It makes no sense. It's ridiculous, isn't it? And the argument goes, but you don't know what they have to, you don't know how I live. Well, I feel more sorry for your family than you. Because they're dealing with you. On any one given day, how many of you could brighten up a house by leaving early? True? And so if we are to do nothing out of selfish ambition for others, we should do nothing out of selfish ambition for our family members, right? It should not be all about you. What you need, what you want. It's like the country western song. I want to sing about me. I want to sing about I want to sing about me. Oh my, oh me. Hey, that's good, huh? You see, the world does not evolve around you. The world evolves around who? The Lord and others. We have a role here. The elders of the church have a role here when it comes to dinners and the like. We have a role. And we've decided that amongst the eldership here. That when it comes to dinners and lunches and breakfasts and things like that, no elder better be first. The elder should be what? Last. Last. Well, that eldership should also be taking place where? In your home. In your home. And those of you who say that you're the leader of your house, then you need to be willing to be what? Last. You need to be willing to be last. Is that an easy thing to do? Not really. But it's the right thing to do. Turn in your Bibles, please. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 7 to 12.
Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. Finally, all of you, be of one mind, having compassion for one another, love as brothers, be tender-hearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil.
I know we're running out of time, and I want to get to the two next passages of Scripture. You certainly, in this church, I know most of you. I know most of you. I know most of you well. Well. Some I know somewhat. But most of you I know well. And I know that you know what Scripture says, that you are to love your who?
Enemies.
Aren't you? Love your enemies. How many of you go out of your way to really, really work hard at loving some enemies of yours? How many have to work hard at that, to love your enemies? I mean, you really have to apply yourself. How many would agree with that statement? I want you to start thinking of your family then as enemies then. Work hard. Work hard. If you treat them as your enemy, maybe you work harder. Maybe you might apply yourself a little harder to love them. You know, there's a DC Talk song that said, love is not a noun, love is a verb. You have to work hard. I do want to get to these next two passages of scripture, and then we'll cut you loose here. But let's have you go to Matthew chapter 5, verses 38 to 42. Matthew 5, 38 to 42.
You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you not to resist an evil person. But whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. If anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak also. And whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to him who asks you, and from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away.
The instinctive thing for we to do is to respond, don't we? Somebody says something, you respond. In kind. Well, maybe we should respond a little less. And reacting as Christ would. Let's do the last one. Let's turn real fast. We'll go to Matthew 5, 43, 48.
You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect.
Some of us, as Christians, treat perfect strangers better than we treat those we love. Anybody admit to that? Some of us would treat a perfect stranger with more respect than we treat those we say we love. So my challenge for you today is this. Well, maybe treat your family as strangers then. Maybe treat them as a perfect stranger. Show them the same respect that you would treat somebody that you never met. Maybe that's the answer to this. Maybe we should learn to treat our families as enemies then and love them with all of our hearts and work hard at it. Is being in a relationship easy? No. You know why? Because you're in it. It's true. Because you're in it. Absolutely true. You don't need to turn to this. Just read. Just listen to this. Proverbs, the very last passage. Just listen.
A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger.
Yeah, you ought to learn that. You cannot diffuse a situation by being louder. You cannot diffuse a situation by throwing faster. You cannot diffuse a situation by banging more doors. You cannot diffuse a situation by packing your clothes and leaving town. You know how I diffuse it? More love. Winston Churchill said the best way to get rid of your enemies is to make them your friends. In our relationships, maybe we should think less of them as a spouse or a child and more as a friend. Maybe we should think less of them as a son or a daughter or a husband or a wife. Maybe we should think of them as a brother and sister in Christ. Maybe that's how we do this. I'm hoping the next time that I do this, I don't have a list like that. The list will be solved. And you know where it begins? With you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much that we're growing and learning with the opportunity, Lord, to be of more service to you. Lord, may we learn to love our brothers and our sisters more, and that includes our family, more than we ever have before. In your awesome name, we pray these things. And all of God's children said, amen.